B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, welcome in. Zolak and Bertrand on a Friday after the first round of the NFL draft last night held all over the place. We'll get Zoe up in a moment here. I don't see him as of yet. Hardy will be with us as well. The full crew back together today. 617-779-0985, the phone number. Your reaction to the draft last night. The Patriots decided to trade back, which I actually like. I never advocate for trading back in the draft. I always like sticking in the first round, making a pick, getting a premium player, impact player right out of the gate. If there were ever a draft for the Patriots to trade back and get more picks and fill out that gap that's in the second round, this is the draft to do it in, so I am on board with doing that. Who do I have with me?
I am here.
Oh, hey, Hottie.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, and that's consistent with what you said yesterday. And, you know, I know we didn't talk a lot about it yesterday, and I'd like to apologize for that. The 3 or 4 minutes that we did spend talking about it were too much. And for that, I think we owe everybody an apology who was listening yesterday. That was non-essential viewing. It was non-essential conversation. We talked about all the players that went. Beetle, when was the first time you were surprised by any of the selections last night? What number did we get to?
Actually, I was surprised that Tua did go 5 to the Dolphins. I thought the Dolphins were going to chicken out and not take Tua, and they did it. And it shows some guts. I think it's a risky pick. I think his injuries are definitely represent a risky thing for them going forward, but I was a little bit surprised. I wasn't locked in on them taking Tua at 5, but they did.
No, because we've been conditioned to expect the unexpected and to have things not go according to plan. But everything went according to plan last night. Every projection pretty much was correct. The conservative, the obvious, it all happened last night. And they took 33 minutes to do the first 2 picks on top of everything else. And by the time 3 hours in, they finally got to the Patriots at number 23 shortly before they made their selection, found out they weren't selecting anyway. So
I know
time
that
we spent out yesterday was essentially wasted time.
No, it wasn't. Did you not watch last night? I saw you. I didn't know if you were messing with people on Twitter saying that you were watching movies.
No, I did watch. I hate watched it up until the Patriots did not select. And after that, I did. I think I stayed up I made it as long as Green Bay's pick. That was it.
Okay.
And then I stopped watching at that point.
All right.
But it was,
I didn't hate watching.
In terms of fireworks and in terms of things, nothing happened. Nothing happened last night.
I thought the draft was a little lacking, and it wasn't because of, you know, the league having things go chalk, so to speak. I thought it was more to do with how they had to cover it, given that nobody was centrally located, and to make things sort of clean and easy. One guy would talk, the next guy would talk, the third guy would talk back to the panel, like back to the host, I mean. And right. So it was a little dull. The coverage was a little dull, but under the circumstances, I guess it was the best it was going to be. It wasn't sloppy. I'll give them that. It was a clean presentation. It didn't appear sloppy. There weren't a ton of screw-ups. They were able to put it together. And I guess we should all be thankful that we had it last night and be thankful that it happened. And we are. I mean, I am. I'm glad it happened. It was something.
I thought the NFL did it. I mean, you know, technically speaking, and I thought everything that they, you know, they did last night, I thought they did a good job. I mean, it was, you know, it wasn't a good show. You know, it wasn't a, you know, it wasn't,
yeah.
It wasn't, you know, compelling to watch. But in terms of, like, technically, and given the circumstances, the unprecedented circumstances that they pulled this thing off in, they did fine. They did fine with it. And it, of course, it's going to lack so much by not having a panel of guys sitting around talking about it, having an actual conversation about these picks, and, you know, only getting 10-second sound bites of guys talking and back and forth. But for the most part, I got to say, it was pretty seamless. There were odd delays, and we had to watch players as their names were being called be on the phone with general managers and head coaches. So, you know, that was a little bit weird. But, you know, overall, there's nothing glitchy about it, which is disappointing to some people. I know, you know, a lot of us wanted to see, like, something happen technically wrong. And there were a few odds and ends that we'll get to later. But for the most part, it was a pretty, you know, mundane affair. And especially when you consider that everybody got selected pretty much where they were projected to. I wonder what, and it's impossible. The question, it's impossible to answer, Beetle. What would have been different had this not taken place during the pandemic? You know,
there would have been more trades. The fact that there were no trades in the top 10 tells you something, that things were not, you know, we're not operations, we're not usual in how they took place last night, because they just couldn't have. No trades in the top 10? None?
Not just the operations, but the ability to find out more about these players over the last, you know, few weeks and months. And, you know, everything has been impacted by this. So, you know, how different would it have been? My gut tells me that they would not have bucked the trend last night as they did with no trades taking place inside the top 10.
Well, I think it was two part. The conservative thing that you just talked about is really important, because as guys went where they were projected to go, that actually opens the door for there to be fewer trades. Right? Does that make sense? Like, guys are going where they're supposed to be going. We have, let's say, Team X has picked 9, 10, or 11, and they've got, you know, one or two guys they've got their eye on to stay at their pick and pick. And then their pick is approaching, and, hey, our guy's still there, and it doesn't appear he's going to come off the board. He's going to go to us like we had sort of planned. And so when everyone's picking, you know, projected guys in the right spots, there's probably less of a chance for there to be dramatic trades, because teams don't feel the need to jump up and get somebody. If that sort of makes sense, right? They sort of tie in together. And so I think all of that is sort of related. First, conservative picking, because there was less time with players. There were less interviews with players. You know, when they got to talk to players, they were doing it over a video conference. They weren't doing it in person. There were fewer workouts, obviously, this year. So I think there's a lot that maybe went into that. And then in addition to that, there were fewer trades because of that and the setup last night. So it sort of compounded the issue.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, this factors in a tiny little bit, but I do believe it's a factor. Just overall, people's moods and attitudes right now are one of a more conservative nature. And that, you know, GMs and coaches and guys who run football teams, they're not immune to that. You know, people are not in a risk-taking mood right now, whether it's financially or with anything else. And if that creeps into your psyche or the psyche of a couple of guys on the team just a tiny little bit, that affects what you're going to do in everything, including what players you're going to select and how you're going to select them and what you're willing to give up in order to get them. So all of these things add up to no trades taking place within the top, as far down as it went, the top 10 is
the 12.
Yeah, it went all the way to 12 and none in the top 10, which is
wasn't there.
That's happened.
I think it was 13. Was there a trade at 13? I have to go back and look at it. But either way, there were no top 10 trades for the first time in a long time.
And furthermore, everybody picking who essentially, you know, mock drafts thought they would. There were no surprises.
So back to the Patriots. They trade down. Are you a fan of that?
Yeah, based on who was taken ahead of them and if they had decided, you know, to go along with what I just said, that they weren't going to go all in on any quarterback that was going to go much, much higher, and they have already identified somebody who they think more suits their needs and what they have planned for the next year or two, it makes total sense. If their guy is obviously going to be there, tonight when they presumably will make their first selection. Of course, it makes sense to trade back. Yeah.
Yeah, I like it, and I usually can't stand it, and this time I think it's the right move. I think they did the right thing last night. So I'm pleased is what I would say. I'm pleased with the outcome last night, but I know there are a lot of fans who absolutely despise trading back. In fact, Zoe told us earlier in the week, and Zoe is going to be with us once we work out some technical issues during this first break of ours. But Zoe told us earlier in the week, I'd like for them to be aggressive. I think they should move up. I'm curious to hear his reaction. I've already seen some of the Twitter reactions, some of the emails to us about how upset people are when they trade down. So I'm curious to know if people are upset with them trading down, if because they are sort of thin, should they be aiming higher? Should they be aiming in the first round? I'm fine with what they did. They did exactly what I wanted to see them do this week, which sounds sort of boring. It's not a great talking thing. Yeah, trade down. Well, they did it, and I'm fine with it. I'm good with it. I think everybody should be good with it. It could result in a number of starters being added to this team. That's what I think could happen over the next 2 days, mostly tonight. And we'll talk more about it because their history in these rounds has been great at times, spotty at others for the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick and his tenure as head coach. So we'll get into that. We'll talk about the Patriots' lack of a pick last night and what they might be doing coming up today. 617-779-0985. And Zoe will be with us as well. Don't go anywhere.
Scott Zola, Mark Bertrand, Zoe and the Beatle. Zoe and the Beatle, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you can clearly see there's a gap when the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sure, we'll be active tomorrow. At some point, we'll end up picking a player or two or three. Like, who knows how it goes. But, you know, we have some flexibility going into tomorrow. So we'll recalibrate where we are, what's left, and kind of take a look at, you know, some of the different players.
Zolak and Bertrand on a Friday in the middle of the NFL draft. Zoe, you with us?
I am with you.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey. What's going on? Hey, it's good to be back with you guys. Thanks for the last couple days. And I guess it's boating season because first day I get back and my tie line's all screwed up. So I'll put that one on Dennis. So probably out there waxing his boat, head engineer. Oh, everything's smooth now, up and running. Yeah.
All right. Not so smooth. How'd you feel last night about the Patriots moving back? I know that is not what you wanted to see them do last night.
I told you that's what they were going to do. That's not what I wanted them to do. I rephrased that. Remember I said gun to the head? Yeah. I wanted them to move up, and I want them to get an a-hole up front. I want them to get an edge record. Right.
So you can predict that you're going to be disappointed with what they
do. I think they knew what they were going to do. You knew what they were going to do. I knew what they were going to do because Bill got on a boat and said, you know what, go enjoy the day in Nantucket. Draft doesn't start till 8. I'll just open a computer. We're not picking anyway. Yeah. Pass. Pass on this draft. Pass, pass, pass. They'll do a lot of picks today, I think. That's kind of the area, and that's what makes you a little nervous based on some of the failings at the second-round pick, especially on the defensive side that they've had over the years. But I didn't see anybody sitting there and saying, oh, my God, I can't believe they didn't get that guy. Like, the big ones went away early. The early run on tackles happened around 7, 8, 9, and 10. I started to get excited when that Simmons kid fell. Simmons was slated to go somewhere, maybe even two, and get over top of Young, but anywhere between two and three. And that kid drops to 8 or 9, and I'm thinking, oh, man, if he gets to 10, Patriots might make a serious move to go up and get the linebacker from Clemson. But just this, I'm glad it happened last night because it feels like this actually feels like we have sports to talk about. Like, it just seems like the NFL is, we're going to do our thing the best we can to the best ability we can do, and we're still going to function. And they did it last night. I didn't like Harry Connick Jr. singing the national anthem. We need that for at the beginning.
Okay, but
we need that for
to say that the Patriots didn't have players that they could have drafted at that spot. There are players that they could have drafted at that spot, and there are players that a lot of the draft people and the guys that really are into the draft were predicting. We talked a little bit about this with Joe Murray over the last couple of days. Xavier McKinney was a name that had come up a lot of times. A.J. Epinesa was one of the names that had come up, the kid out of Iowa. He was on the board. Kenneth Murray was a name that was on the board. There are names that are out there that the Patriots were sort of linked to in pre-draft coverage that they could have drafted and they would have been, you know, perceived to be good players. So,
yeah, mock drafts had them taking Jordan Love, the quarterback, too. Now, and he was sticking around.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if they were thinking about taking Jordan Love there, I'm glad they didn't. And that was one of the first-round surprises last night, that Jordan Love went to the Packers of all places. So now the Patriots have a pick again in the second round. And what's when I say second-round Patriots, what do you think about their drafting in the second round?
Fillings at the defensive back position.
Okay, and that would be a fair thing to say, considering Duke Dawson was a second rounder, Cyrus Jones,
yeah.
Jordan Richards, second round pick, Tavon Wilson, who we spent some time on yesterday, bad second round pick. You said Rozai Dowling, right? You covered that,
yeah.
But then there's Patrick Chung,
sure,
who was a very good second round pick. So here's the list. It's actually not as bad as people may think it is, because I know people, gut reaction is, second round, that hasn't been a great spot for the Patriots. Actually, I'd argue it's been way better than you probably think it is.
Yeah, when you factor everybody in, sure.
There's been some bad ones. There have been some really bad misses in the second round. The hit rate goes way down in the second round, that I admit. But here's the list. Adrian Clem, not good. Bad pick, right? That's what I would say about that. Matt Light, excellent pick, right?
Good pick.
Excellent pick is Matt Light.
He's all right. He was all right.
Deion Branch, how do you feel about that one?
He's great.
All right, Deion Branch is a good one. Bethel Johnson.
Patriot Hall of Famers right there. Bang, bang. Bethel was a good pick. He serviced you. He did. He gave you something to return. He stuck around for a while. Yeah.
Come on. Hey, Bethel Johnson.
The dude was not out of the league in 3 years like some of these guys.
Eugene Wilson.
Okay, player.
Average. Marquise Hill tragically lost his life early.
Don't ride jet skis. Yep.
Yeah, we'll leave that one out of there. Chad Jackson.
Oh.
Bad pick. Terrence Wheatley.
Mm-mm.
Bad pick. Second rounder. Come on. Bad pick. Sebastian Vollmer.
Good pick.
Good pick.
Good pick, right?
Yep. Darius Butler.
Bad pick.
Yeah, not a great pick. Ron Brace, bad pick. Patrick Chung, really good pick.
That's a good pick.
Brandon Spikes, I'd give that a good pick for the second round.
It was a good pick.
Yeah. Jermaine Cunningham, bad pick. Never worked out.
Yeah.
Here's the best second round pick the Patriots have ever had. Rob Gronkowski was in the second round.
Yeah, it was a good pick.
He fell due to his back injury. They snagged him in the second round. Shane Vereen, good pick.
Good pick.
I don't have an issue with that. And then we get to some of the bad ones. Rozai Dowling, bad. Tavon Wilson, bad. Aaron Dobson, bad. Jamie Collins.
Good.
Good.
And that was one of the times when they traded down, by the way. Yeah. When they waited, they traded down. They went down, traded out of that first round, and went and got Jamie Collins. So that is an example of what you could hope for again tonight. Jimmy Garoppolo, good pick.
Good pick.
And then three bad defensive backs, Jordan Richards, Cyrus Jones, Duke Dawson, whom, I don't know, we don't know what Duke Dawson would be.
Did he ever get a number? Did he ever have a number?
I don't know.
I thought he was like 22 for a while, then he went to 29, then it was just weird. Just a bad run for him.
And then there is last year's Jawan Williams pick.
I think that's going to be a good pick, because I think that kid, from what I hear, is a worker. He's big. He's physical. He looks like the Bucky Jones. They're going to get something out of that kid. They might end up moving him to safety. Seriously, big free safety. So we'll see what type of range he has, see how his hips are. I think there's something to work there with Jawan.
But there are plenty of really good players that the Patriots have gotten in that second round, right?
Yeah.
And some really bad ones, but
you can do this with every team too.
Of course, but I don't care about the other teams. I care about New England right now.
Attaboy.
when it comes to defensive backs, though, that is what you don't want them taking in the second round. They've got a weakness there, so I think you nailed it.
Yep.
Whatever you do tonight.
Narrow it down, defensive backs. Do not. Yep. Hey.
You nailed it. Don't take a defensive back. That's
Nick,
it.
Monty Austin Ford, guys, we're in the second round tonight. Just alert. Hey, everything we talked about this week, no DBs tonight. No. Just say no.
Put it just down say no away. To defensive backs. Zoe, you should put it on a T-shirt. Just say no to defensive backs. That's it. But other than that, they've made good picks at, you know, every position group on the field. They've drafted good linebackers there. They even drafted a quarterback there. They have drafted a decent receiver. They got Deion Branch in the second round. They got Matt Light up front in this round. What haven't they managed to get? Maybe a defensive lineman. I don't think there's a defensive lineman here.
What do you think they're going to do? What do you think they're going to do?
So, well, and that was the one guy that I had heard a lot of, and I really didn't think there was much chance of them trading up, but I thought maybe a defensive lineman, the guy from Iowa, Epinesa. I thought
you just like saying Epinesa because like Epinana.
Empanada. Oh, Epinana. I would kill three men for an empanada right now, but. I thought, okay, if they stay at 23, that's what I would expect them to get. Not quite a home wrecker like Zoe wants, but by all indications, a guy that the Patriots had some interest in and a lot of people thought made sense for their needs, and he was there. He's still there. I don't know if he's going to be there when they pick tonight, but that was the only thing I thought they would have done other than what they ended up doing. And if you'd ask me to
find a
rank them
1-2,
I thought, they'll probably go with AJ Epinesa and keep that pick because there's a chance he won't be there now. But obviously, they don't care all that much for him either. Or they're convinced he'll be there and they can go get him later.
Nice.
So last night after the draft was over, Nick Caserio spoke, and he has a comparison for this draft and a previous draft. For the Patriots,
spinning it forward to tomorrow, it's going to be a big day for you guys. I know you broke down the picks, but I mean, how big is this with what you have accumulated here on day two?
Yeah, right now we have five picks, so kind of spread out a little bit. One at the top of the second, and then really kind of all littered throughout the third round. It's not the same, but I would say similar. I think it was 2009. Like we ended up popping those four second round picks together. That was the Chung year. You know, we took Chung at the top of the second round. We end up picking, you know, four players in the second round. It's a round later. You know, just give you some flexibility, just maybe move around in the middle there a little bit. The late round picks are the late round picks. So look at them all together.
All right, enough. We get it. We get it. Shut them off. That is painful. Let's play no more Nick Caserio today. That's the end of that.
He sounds like Belichick. He really sounds like Belichick.
He does. The cadence is scary. They spend too much time together, I'm assuming.
They're into each other. Right.
The four guys they picked that year in 2009 were Patrick Chung, Ron Brace, Darius Butler, Sebastian Vollmer. I'd say they went 2 for 4 there.
Yeah.
But I also wonder if he's tipping his hand a little bit about what they're going to do tonight. When he talks about, it's not around. The same. More moving around and how they had four second-round picks in 2009.
Huh.
I heard that, and I wonder. I read it. I didn't hear it at first. I read the transcript. I thought that maybe he was tipping his hand about moving around on the board, and how they might do that again tonight. You might see that coming up today.
Yeah, I would fully expect them not to just. What do any of us think they're going to just make selections with all those positions that they currently hold?
Nope.
I fully expect them to do some more trading back.
Or in the case of this, trading up, using some of their later picks. They've got a boatload of picks to maybe jump with an additional pick in the second round after having no picks in the second round at the start of last night.
You know what I bet they they miss at home doing their little sit-downs here with their computers? The hospitality spread that the boardroom gets. You know, that war room. Who's the lady assigned to the war room? When those big heated vats come up and they open them up and they're putting out the chicken fingers, they're putting out the Cornish tens, steak tips, mashed potatoes. But those coaches miss that.
I'm sure they do. 617-779-0985. Let's go, draft people. What'd you think of last night and what are you thinking about for tonight's selections for the New England Patriots?
We gonna pick a tight end? We ever gonna pick
this
a tight end?
This is it. You've got your time to talk draft. Hardy, the door's open people. Here for the
you know
draft
what?
People.
Now that you
stupid
mentioned
tight end
it,
people,
the door's open, the phone lines are open.
Let's
hear
ends?
It.
Were there any tight ends in this draft?
That's okay. Don't worry. Tampa has like eight of them.
Oh, that! Wait a second. Talk about need. They still need a tight end, don't
this
they?
This is stupid. Oh, you know what? You didn't care about the retirement press conference, did you, huh? Didn't tell you to meet Ed still wanted to play football. We'll get to that.
That's all coming up here on Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Now it's time for more of Zolak and Bertrand.
That's what you put in your mouth in the morning.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
+1 777 979 0985 is the telephone number. You're on Zolak and Bertrand. We'll get to your phones on the draft as the Patriots trade out of the first round. They're now in the second and third round, which starts tonight. Get it going on the NFL draft, which is going virtual this year. Let's get some of your calls. Luke is in Hudson. What's up, Luke?
Hey, guys. Just wanted to call in. You guys might have turned it off after they announced the trade, but Shefty kind of snuck in a point that they can take the same guy at 37 and they could at 23. Think that's going to be Komet, the tight end?
Hopefully. You know, I heard that, and he didn't seem to be like referring to anybody, you know, in particular. But I also disagree with that because what's that? All right, here's the audio in case you missed it. Schefter last night.
Keep in mind, New England had traded its second-round pick for Mohamed Sanu. So now the Patriots are left with 13 picks, and they could take the same player at 37 that they would have taken at 23.
Okay. If listening to it again, if that is true, that they would have just used the pick at 23 on a guy that could still be available at 37 – then that is absolutely the right thing to do. But if he's suggesting that the same player is available at 37 that is available at 23, that's just stupid. That's obviously not true.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we listened to that again. Because if they were going to say, oh, well, this is our guy, it's who we want, we're just going to use 23 on him, that would be stupid. That would be Tavon Wilson all over again. Good job, Patriots, once again last night. I love what they did.
See, if you look at where they were at 23, there's two things that have happened here. Somebody out of a top 15 grade is going to fall to you there. Well, that obviously didn't happen. Because if that happened, I think they jump on that player. Because that means, oh, wow, we get great value here based on where this guy came from. I think it's more the other case that they're picking at a spot at 23. Really good players off the board in the top 15. So now we're in the next grouping of a lot of just the same type of guys. So why not let's acquire another pick, slide back a couple picks to where we're going to be picking pretty soon, and basically get that same type of player. Komet was never said to go in the first round, the tight end from Notre Dame. So you're going to have, I think you're going to have your pick a tight end, and Jalen Hurts might be sitting there too when you're picking. It's going to be an interesting day for them today. Because I'm telling you, I've been pounding this for 2 weeks. I want to see him take Hurts. I do. I think they can do some things with him.
So it's obviously been covered, and Nick O'Malley at Mass Live, I think, has the best story on the Patriots trading out of the first round and what it's netted them over the years. 2003, they traded out of number 19, which ended up being Kyle Bowler. Jim thought they overpaid. Obviously, you go back to Jim's draft notes back in 03, guys.
Well, Jim has the best notes. Yeah.
Of course, I have them printed out in front of me at all times.
Right. So he said they gave up a lot to get Kyle Bowler. Well, the Patriots dropped back and picked Vince Wilfork. That worked out.
Yeah.
The bonus there.
Oh, who said
the
that? Jim? Is this
pick.
From Jim? Is this
no,
all
no,
from Jim?
This, oh, okay. No, this is just me now. Right. The bonus pick there was Eugene Wilson, which, yeah, I don't think it was a great second round pick, but that guy was a starter. I mean, he started.
Oh, Eugene
on this
Wilson.
Team.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah. He was a decent player. Not a not a Pro Bowler, but a decent player. So they netted an extra player in that, along with getting Vince Wilfork. So that definitely, I would say, worked out for them. In 2007, they traded back out of 28. That pick ended up being Joe Staley. That guy was pretty good. So a little different this time around. But for the Patriots, that turned into Gerard Mayo and part of the Randy Moss trade, too, what they got out of that. So they did just fine in that one. 2008, they traded what was 7-164. Is that right? How do they have that? Oh. What number do they have there? Anyway, that's they traded back and received. Oh yeah, that's because they had traded up the year before. Now they were trading back, and they ended up with Gerard Mayo and Sean Crable. So Mayo was part of two different deals. Crable ended up.
Crable's that linebacker they loved.
So it didn't really. I don't know what they really got out of those multiple trades. They still got a good player. They didn't screw themselves at all. But I don't know how much they gained there. 2009, they traded back out of 23. And then they received 26 and a fifth rounder that ended up getting traded away. And so what they ended up getting was Darius Butler, Brandon Tate, that is, a bunch of smaller trades. And then it also was involved in the Gronk trade as a second round pick later on. So that one, not as clear. You go to 2010, they traded back. They traded number 22. That was Demaryius Thomas. They received number 24. They then traded that again. That was Dez Bryant, by the way. So they passed on Demaryius Thomas. They passed on Dez Bryant. They ended up with 27, which was Devin McCourty. They then got Taylor Price and Aaron Hernandez with the two other picks. So in that deal, we're going to talk about Hernandez just in a football sense. They got McCourty and Hernandez when Hernandez slid.
Good draft right there, yeah.
More often than not, it has worked for them. 2013 is one that I mentioned before, and I think that's probably the best example. They passed on number 29, and they went to 52, 83, 102, and 229. And so they didn't get a lot other than the fact, they got Jamie Collins and Logan Ryan with two of the picks that they passed on at 29. They got Jamie Collins at 52, Logan Ryan at 83, and that's what I'm looking for the Patriots to replicate tonight. That right there. One guy in Jamie Collins who is still playing at a high level, and Logan Ryan, who I think is a free agent again, but those are two legit players on this team that they got.
And that
me is spreading out the wealth, if you will.
Right. And you know, how they've behaved in past drafts and how that – dictates.
Oh, did what? Dick Sue? You dictate in a sentence again.
No.
Please? It makes
my
day.
How that informs, you know, what they did last night is fine. Except the difference is, in every previous draft, for the last 20 years, they've had the failsafe of having the most important guy and the one guy who could make up for a lot of deficiencies, both on offense and on defense. You know, if you missed a couple of times, you still had Tom Brady there. You still had Tom Brady to run your offense, or you had Tom Brady to put up a bunch of points for you if the defense faltered. This year was different. And for everyone who says, the Patriots are just doing what they've always done. They weren't going to reach for anybody, and they certainly weren't going to go after a player that would probably be there a little bit later if they thought that player could help them. That's fine. But this year is different from every year going back to since you had Tom Brady as your starting quarterback. And to me, just saying like business as usual, that's fine for the way you run practices. That's fine for the way you instruct your players to behave on social media. But when it comes time to putting your team together, it's time to think about things a little bit differently, and so far I haven't seen anything different from this team who is lacking the most important person on the field. I know they don't like to think about it like that, and he's just, you know, one of 53, 54 guys. It's not supposed to make a difference, but it does make a difference. And for them to just go business as usual kind of seems like they're not quite at the whistling past the graveyard part yet, but I would have felt better had they done something instead of, that's what we've always done and we've been successful. Yeah, except Tom Brady isn't here anymore. So,
but maybe it's not born out of that. Maybe it's born out of we need to have a deep, solid, quality draft. What if it's born out of that? In fact, I would argue, Artie, that the way they were doing it before, when they had Tom Brady and they were successful most of the time, that they didn't need to be trading back. They didn't need to worry about picking up the extra second or third rounder along the way. I would have preferred that during their run of greatness, they were still going after top-tier guys in the draft. The way that you saw the San Francisco 49ers do it last night. 49ers made multiple picks last night. They just played in the Super Bowl. That, to me, is the way to be doing it when you're at that point. Now is the time for them to be trading back. I've always hated trading back until now. So I don't know if it's born out of them just wanting to do what they're comfortable with, or they actually realize, yeah, hey, this is a draft where we get a hit, and we've got to hit often.
But when you think you're close, too, and when you think you're close like San Fran, too, you got to do something extra to help get over that hump. And being in Pittsburgh the last 3 days, listening to a little Pittsburgh talk radio out there, they're talking Juju Smith-Schuster, interested by San Francisco 49ers. They want to get him in a trade to add what they already have. Talk about receivers out there. My God. Will that help Garoppolo get over the hump?
Yeah, but the Patriots didn't need to get over any hump in previous years. They went to the AFC Championship every single year. They were going to Super Bowls more often than not.
And they dictate what they want to dictate.
Basically, Beetle, what that is a response to people who say, well, this is the way they've always done it, and they've been successful with it. Great. The baseline has changed. You know, this is no longer a controlled experiment with Tom Brady at quarterback. That's over with. So now you have to change up the experiment a little bit here. You just can't go with what you've done before and had success with.
617-779-0985, the phone number. There was also some, there was some ridiculousness last night during the draft, including the boos of Roger Goodell and a scene at Mike Vrabel's house. We'll get to all that coming up next.
Zoe and the Beatles, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something.
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times.
Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
It's a draft tradition and one that I genuinely enjoy. Let's hear from you right now. Oh, come on, guys, you can do better than that. Let's go. Oh, Strahan, come on, let's go. Come on, you guys can do better than that. All right, keep it coming. Wow, even the virtual boos are good. Yes, I can hear you from my basement, so keep it coming.
What a dick. God. Stupid.
What?
Hello. I'm here in my basement. Go ahead, turn on the virtual boos. Oh, I can hear them too. Keep them.
Oh, come on, guys. You can do better than that. Let's go. Oh, Strahan. Come on, let's go. Come on, you guys can do better than that. All right, keep it coming.
Really? Really, NFL Network, you called Jim Louth for sound effects on draft night? The worst sound effect picker ever?
Those are real boos. Those were real boos.
Real boos.
Yeah.
We got an email from Steve who says, those fans in the background last night were pre-recorded with Goodell fake waving them on. We have the rehearsal Wednesday night, or we had the rehearsal Wednesday night with NFL producers. Tonight the fans, including myself, are live. So someone may do something stupid. This could be the highlight of the draft, in my opinion.
Then shout it. Do something.
That's what Steve said. Last night was recorded, and tonight it is not. It is live. They will have live, real, digital booing tonight from remote booing is what it will be. And so that's going to happen tonight. Roger Goodell last night from his basement had a real camera, as I expected. They had a real camera down there. He was the host of the draft.
Was that a real camera? Because it still kind of looked crappy to me. That wasn't the real camera that I was expecting. He didn't.
How many weeks
to
get ready for this?
Thank
you, thank you. They had how many weeks to get ready for this? They sent Hoodie over to the freaking igloo where when we do our show with one camera, and he can make it look 500 times better.
Yeah, I did not think it looked sharp. It did not look crystal clear. Like Vaseline was smearing on the lens. Maybe he wanted the Barbara Walters treatment. I don't know, but that was not the that was not the sharp image I was expecting for their one, like, full-blown static nice camera that they were going to have during the draft.
Well, I think they went with a minimal setup, but it was definitely
minimal?
Better than any.
That's the commissioner of National Football League, and that's his basement at $42 million a year. Good God.
Well, forget about his basement. I still don't know why they couldn't have him in a studio.
They should have.
Right. Why couldn't I? I think it was probably Hardy because they wanted to send the message that everyone was staying at home.
It's crazy. Yeah. You know, driving through.
Why do as a commissioner get to go out?
Right. Commissioner can't go and social distance at a studio. Yet I'm driving through Connecticut and New Rochelle yesterday, and the Targets and Lowe's and food places were packed. I'm talking full lots. And we can't get the commissioner to get in and. To stupid studio.
No, we mean you could have. No one was stopping the commissioner from doing that because.
Well,
because
it sends a good message.
I think they are conscious of the message they are sending.
We're all in this
together. And that's why I think that they were, thinking he should stay home and he should not leave his home. As all the draft picks were at home, many of the analysts were at home. Who wasn't at home last night? Trey Wingo, that was it, right?
Yeah, McShay recovering from Corona, too.
Right.
Miss McShay last night on the coverage.
So I would agree with that. I thought the coverage was lacking McShay. So anyway, the digital booze last night for Goodell go live tonight. That's funny. I enjoyed how he changed his outfit halfway through the night. Like
he probably got spaghetti sauce on it.
Like a bride at a wedding or something. Like comes out all dolled up in the suit and then halfway through the night, oh, he's back on the dance floor. And you're like, where'd that come from?
Well, Rumpelroo,
you're wearing something else now.
A cardigan and Isotoner slippers for the second half of the draft.
I want him to come out in a smoking jacket at some point tonight.
Yeah. Oh, let me get these heels off. My dogs are barking.
So he changed his outfit halfway through the night. It was nothing, though, like the scene at Mike Vrabel's house, who allowed – are those all his kids? How many kids does Vrabel have?
He's got a lot of kids. He's got the one at BC, the big one.
How many kids does he have? Do you know?
I think he's got five kids.
He's got five kids. All right. Well, they were all there last night. They're all like teenagers now. And they were, one was in a full costume. The daughter was just sort of sitting there like laughing at the entire scene.
He's got one of those weird houses, man. Like, you go in there and you don't know what day it is. Like, everybody's on a different page.
He's got another son wearing a Pro Bowl jersey. There was someone sitting down in the mirror, and it was funny because it looked like they may have been on a toilet. I don't think they actually were, but there was someone in the mirror that was caught, and they're all just standing there. Mike Vrabel's got a huge dip in his mouth. He spits it out before they're about to make their pick. It was quite the scene, man. Quite the scene. It was late, so you may have missed it, but it looked like he was ready to get up and knock someone out at any moment. Because he was like not part of it. For whatever reason, he let his kids run rampant and all over the place. And Vrabel just sits there like stoic.
Too, he's letting his kid grow that cheesy porn mustache, too. Like, I tell my kids, shave your lip. Be growing that crap. Look at that. Ugh, awful.
It's like, I think he's got a mullet, too.
He had something going on.
Costumes. The Vrabel Pro Bowl jersey. What a mess. What a mess that was. Jerry Jones was on his yacht. Did you catch that?
Yeah.
I didn't know it was his yacht until this morning.
Oh, yeah.
I did not pick up on that until this morning, yeah.
That was played up on Twitter last night as soon as it happened.
Miami. Oh, my God. It's the biggest yacht I've ever seen. It looks like a battleship. Doesn't look like a yacht cruiser. Looks like a guy going to cause trouble. You know, one of those. It looks part sub, part yacht. Like, it's badass.
$250 million yacht that has two helipads.
Because, well, in case the other one falls off.
What if there are two helicopters coming in at once? What, are you going to make one of them circle? That would be ridiculous. You can't do that. What kind of ghetto-ass yacht do you have anyway with only one helipad on it? Do you know what the length of that yacht is, Zoe? Take a guess.
255.
357.
So when you, go to turn, when you turn into a harbor, you really got to go like out in the middle of the water and come in straight, right? You're not really making that turn left or right.
It don't turn on a dime, no.
Think it has bow thrusters?
Well, here's the other thing. How many people, like, guests can it hold? I will tell you right now, 30 crew members. That's number one. How many guests does this thing hold, according to TMZ?
Four.
14.
Yeah.
So there's two crew members for every guest.
Yeah.
For every passenger.
Now it's a party. Yeah.
Just about.
It's nice.
I bet.
Very nice. Yeah, all right, let's get to headlines.
No, just to put gas in that thing, though. My God.
Yeah.
Boat gets a little glory hole.
We'll get to headlines here. No commercials. We'll get back to Gronk. Zoe hasn't had a chance to talk about that. We'll do it coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.